Gentas presents The Seafarers by Vivian Stewart, performed by Simon Slater. The Cutty Sark, one of the last tall ships of the extreme clipper design to be built, never had a mate named Samuel Gordon. In some instances, her well-documented voyages are moved about in time in order to fit within the framework of this fictional story. A few of the incidents herein depicted as having happened on Cutty Sark are based on happenings on other ships. The author claims fictional license for his effort to reflect a way of life, clipper sailing, in this book. The Cutty Sark, having been the quintessential clipper ship, seemed to be an ideal vehicle to accomplish this purpose. Prologue, November 22, 1869. Although Jock Willis's smile was hidden by his long white bushy beard and his full moustache, his satisfaction was evident in his eyes and his ruddy cheeks. The burly Scotsman was dressed in a dark swallow-tail coat, a white vest, gleaming linen, and the pale beaver topper that had earned him the nickname Old White Hat. He stood in the ship's bow, his ship's bow, with the fingers of one hand thrust into his trousers pocket, as he surveyed a goodly portion of the population of Dumbarton. Pressing with upturned faces all around the construction gangway now doubling as a christening platform, the crowd on the foreshore below had braved the Scottish winter to witness the time-honoured ceremony that had brought Jock up from London. He was the yard's owner, and the ship about to be launched was, in his opinion, the best he had ever built. Launching days always attracted a crowd, but not usually as large as this. Ships had been launched into the Leven River, near its conjunction with the Clyde for centuries. The twin peaks of the Rock of Dumbarton had been witness to the comings and goings of Roman galleys, medieval carracks, stout East Indiamen, and most recently the sleek, low, twin-paddle wheelers that had been Clyde-built for speed and stealth to run the blockade of the United States Navy into the ports of the embattled Confederate States of America. The men of Dumbarton were carpenters, dubbers, joiners, caulkers, riggers, and fasteners. Shipbuilding was in their blood, and of course all those who had been involved in the building of this new ship were on hand, for this was not just another ship. She was slim and graceful, as sleek as a sea otter, as she poised on her bed of keel blocks. She was a clipper. She had risen slowly from the jumble of timber and iron, the remnants of which still littered the yard. She had been formed of oak and metal and teak, no softwood for her, as would be the case in America where oak was scarce. Old Jock had insisted on the finest materials, oak from the Forest of Dean in Gloucestershire and the New Forest of Hampshire, where once a retired admiral had wandered, pockets filled with acorns, to plant oaks so that England would never be shy of that durable wood. Old Jock's wishes, for pressing business now kept him in London, had been followed to the smallest detail by his building supervisor, Captain George Moody, who would have the honour of taking the ship to sea. Old Jock was a businessman, and a good one. He had known hardship, having been sent to sea as a boy. He had worked his way up to captain, and he had taken tall ships into the far ports of the world. His years at sea had hardened and wizened him, and he was a man who was careful with a pound, but a fair man, and a ship from John Willis and Son never left port without Old White Hat, Old Jock, on the wharf, to raise his topper and call out, "Goodbye, my lads!" A true son of Scotland, he was a man of many seasons, sailor, businessman, family man, and in his secret heart, a poet, or at least a lover of poetry. For every event, for every mood, there was a verse stored away under the beaver hat. Once, when his young designer, Hercules Linton, had been preparing a materials list for the clipper, old Jock had quoted Longfellow, "Choose the timbers with greatest care. Of all that is unsound, beware. For only what is sound and strong to this vessel shall belong." Of course, the American poet had been inspired by a clipper being built by the master craftsman of Boston, Donald McKay, whose Flying Cloud still held the record for a one-day run, an incredible 374 miles, at an average speed of 15 knots.